Hello and welcome to the Chengdu Gaming Federation podcast. I'm Austin and I'm joined here with Charlie.
What's going on? How you doing?
Great. And I recently got a Switch and have
not been, that recently, right?
It's been a month.
A month, yeah.
Yeah.
And you just completed a major achievement.
Finally, I went back and I played Zelda and I finally have completed it.
Congrats.
After forever.
It took a while. It's a big game.
It's a huge game. I've continued to be impressed by just the scope of the game, the size of the overworld, how many things there are to do.
Me too. My appreciation for the game has only grown through 100 plus hours of playing it. And I know you've put the same amount of time in, or more than me even, so.
Possibly, yeah. It's. I definitely think upon completion, I probably had surpassed your number of hours at that point.
I think so too.
I think now both of us have started a second playthrough for this. You had got your Switch stolen, sadly, and
finished a second playthrough.
Yeah, finished a second playthrough. So we both finished a second playthrough. Didn't finish our first playthrough, but put a good number of hours into the game before starting a second playthrough.
Right. I think we both played it. I was definitely at the end of the game. I'd completed all four Divine Beasts.
I had completed two and was working on a third and had maybe more than half of the map like unlocked.
Right. So essentially what we're thinking with this podcast episode in particular is to talk about playing the game through a second time. Zelda Breath of the Wild is widely considered to be the best game of 2017. I think we both agree that it is. And a lot of people have already played it, enjoyed it. So why would we come back and talk about Zelda, which is over a year old at this point? Well, I think there's a lot of value in playing the game through a second time, specifically in Master Mode.
Right.
The game is quite different in Master Mode, and we kind of want to talk about some of those differences for maybe people either who haven't played Zelda Breath of the Wild or who have played it and maybe even completed it in normal mode, kind of what is going on with Master Mode in particular.
Master Mode, as well as touching upon some of the other DLC that comes along with it. So I was a little bit deterred when you told me I should try Master Mode. I thought maybe I should finish a playthrough on the regular game before getting around to it.
Yeah, but you didn't want to play it. You were very resistant, and I was kind of urging you to consider it and stick with it. I remember you started in normal mode, and then I was like, oh, I'll try it in Master Mode, because I really felt that, first of all, I was enjoying Master Mode a lot. I had been playing it for only a couple hours at that point, but I definitely felt that if you could commit to Master Mode and complete it, then you'll truly have a sense of achievement for having completed the game in the most difficult mode.
And I'm glad that you did. It really changes things up a lot. It's, you know, I think possibly like the best way to play the game. But as you said, we're going to be talking about why you should play the game a second time. And I think that even though we didn't finish our first playthrough, we had put a good number of hours in the game and learned skills that I think were necessary to make playing through on Master Mode an enjoyable experience rather than an arduous, crazy grind of like figuring out how to deal with certain mechanics of the game.
Yeah, so for anyone who's not familiar with Master Mode, the second quest, Master Mode or Hero Mode, is a recurring mode in the Legend of Zelda series. It started with the original game. It's actually kind of a funny story about the second quest mode in the original Legend of Zelda. I'm not sure if you've heard this before, but the way to access this mode is by
putting your name, right? A different name?
Your name is Zelda.
Zelda.
Yeah, putting your name in as Zelda is the player's name when creating a new file. And this rearranges all the dungeons in the original Legend of Zelda game on the Nintendo Entertainment System. And it also changes the items which you acquire in each dungeon. It's kind of a funny story. The second quest came out of a design mistake by one of the game designers in which he only used half of the available memory in the game for the dungeons. And instead of redoing the game, they made this second quest mode, which included the other set of dungeons and variables. And this was done at the suggestion of Shigeru Miyamoto.
Cool.
So then, and many other Zelda games have included a second quest, a hero's mode, or in Breath of the Wild, it's called Master Mode.
Right.
But basically, it's a more difficult version of the game, which basically makes the game more difficult in a number of different ways, which we'll talk about. But that is kind of what Master Mode is about, and this was introduced along with the first DLC set, which was made available for Breath of the Wild, and that was in June of 2017, and that is part of the Master Trials DLC,
right.
And that is the first of two DLC sets. The second was the Champion's Ballad, which was released in December of 2017, and both of those are available together for a $20 purchase.
If $15, I think.
$20.
Okay.
If you have Breath of the Wild. So
it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, it's actually almost exactly a year old. It came out, I think, in June of 2017, and in just a couple days, it'll be June of 2018. So we're coming up on 1 year.
Wow.
That Master Mode was available in Breath of the Wild. And if you start in this mode, the first thing you notice is that all the enemies are one level higher than they normally would be.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time coming up on a choo-choo. The little like jelly blob things or whatever, and it was like a huge blob. I hadn't even seen them in my first time playing the game, and I was like breaking weapons trying to kill it. I had to run away from like the weakest enemy in the game in the first area.
That's right. So to give you an example, like a red Bokoblin, which you would find becomes a blue Bokoblin, and the blue ones become more powerful ones and so on. They also regenerate health.
Yeah.
All enemies, all bosses. And that can make some of the boss battles pretty tough, particularly Ganon at the end of the game.
Yeah, you were over at my house 2 days ago, I think, when I had decided I'm going to do it. I'm going to like take on Ganon. And I was in a taxi ride home, starting it, got like a good way into the battle, got to his second phase, I guess, of his thing. I have the like, you already knock out half his health with the four divine beasts, and then you have to knock out another quarter of his health to get to the second phase of that fight with Ganon. And I exhausted all of my shields.
And you broke all your shields.
I broke them all, and found myself in a perpetual battle that I was in like an hour and a half with or something.
Yeah.
Before you showed up, and you're like, why don't you just reload? And I'm like,
I can't believe you spent an hour and a half on one boss. But Master Mode is really hard. I mean, the first thing, the most difficult part of the game by far is the beginning.
I mean, you could definitely beat him without shields in normal mode. You by like doing the flurry rush, you know, dodging attacks, things like that. But in Master Mode with the regenerating health, I looked it up, but I didn't find anyone suggesting any ways of like anyone ever beating him without shields.
Having to approach a lot of similar problems in different ways is kind of the defining characteristic of Master Mode, in my opinion. A lot of the issues, which would be just straightforward, particularly combat in the game, one of the really common criticisms of Breath of the Wild is that the combat is pretty simple. With most of the enemies, especially in normal mode, you can kind of just spam the attack button and
you really have
them.
To think about ways to like, especially I would say the first few hours of the game in Master Mode are really like where it's the most different.
For sure.
It's still, you have challenging moments later in the game, but those first few hours play like a totally different game. You've got to really rub it in your face. Now they have a Lynel like in the first area. And
can you describe a Lynel?
A Lynel is what, like a lion, horse thing, like centaur type thing. Usually they will have an arrow and be able to shoot lightning arrows at you, and they'll have a large sword that they can just come and charge you down and mow you down with.
And pretty much one hit will kill you.
Yeah, especially in the beginning of the game. You got three hearts, everything will one hit kill you.
Right, I think so.
Like the beginning of the game in Master Mode, you find yourself playing it like a stealth game.
Thinking, on the plateau, that's right.
Yeah, sneaking around enemies. And I found myself seeing areas that I hadn't seen in that in the Great Plateau starting area, just because I was like, I'm going here and just going in a straight line and mowing down any enemies in my path, and not really like thinking about how to get around and navigate the environment and maybe safely get around a group of enemies.
Last night we hosted a CGF event, and I met one of the guys in the group who I hadn't met previously, who is Dutch and named Walter. And we were talking about Zelda for a couple minutes, and he described to me how he started out on the plateau, which is where you begin Breath of the Wild. And he was playing the game, he said, like Splinter Cell. like a stealth game.
Right.
I think it was like Metal Gear Solid or something, but, and he wasn't even playing on Master Mode. And I was telling him like, well, if you play in Master Mode, you're like really like hiding from everything because that's the only way you can survive and get to the point where you can actually solve shrines, get hearts, get better armor, equipment, weapons, and so on. But it does play very differently, and having to adjust to those challenges can be difficult, especially if you've kind of played the game before and you're used to approaching some of these problems by just attacking or just running right up to people. If you try that in Master Mode, it's not going to work. And when I first started playing in Master Mode, I just kept trying the same kind of things over and over and just dying over and over, and it became really frustrating. And I felt like this is really, really difficult. And then I realized that when I'm dying so many times on one part, I'm just approaching the problem in the wrong way. And then when I started to change the way that I thought about the problems, then I started to embrace the creativity that Master Mode demands. And that made the game a lot more fun.
I agree. I think Master Mode showed me a new way to play that really kind of made the game a lot more enjoyable for me. And that was that, as you said, you have to maybe think about, oh, I have to go about this a different way. And I started thinking to myself, maybe I'm not ready for this and I'll come back with some new weapons or something. So I started setting markers for things on the map and thinking I'll come back. And, you know, ended up finding whole new areas and like keeping a good pace, like making progress in the game. Somebody else was telling me how they didn't think Zelda was really for them. And I spent some time talking to them about it. They were telling me about, they had been watching Loco actually playing the game, and he spent like an hour or something just trying over and over to complete this like one horse like race or something that he was just messing up and not getting done, but he wanted to complete it, stuck with it. And I think the game kind of really shines its brightest when you are taking the time to like find new ways to go about things and not just sticking with things, coming back to things later when you're ready to take them on.
Yeah, when I started reading about Master Mode and trying to collect some online impressions of what people thought about it and how it compared, I ran into a Kotaku article, which I'll share in the show notes of this podcast. And the title of the article was, "In Master Mode, Breath of the Wild starting area is the game at its best." I thought that was a really good description. And there's one passage which I kind of wanted to share where the author of the article says, "His first fight against a blue Bokoblin forced me to recalibrate how I was going to approach the game. I failed so utterly. I broke all the weapons I'd collected and couldn't even kill the monster I was fighting. I made a run for it, doing my best to escape despite my paltry stamina bar. Crouching safely behind a nearby hill, I took stock. If I was going to make it off the Great Plateau, I was going to have to avoid almost all combat." And it goes on and on to say Link is a weakling compared to his more powerful enemies, and how this guy had played the game for over 100 hours in normal mode. He knew where to find the items for cooking. He knew how to start a fire. He knew how to do a lot of the essential parts of the game. And so with that information, Master Mode was just a really fulfilling challenge, particularly the beginning of the game when on the plateau. And that is definitely where Master Mode is most pronounced, because once you get off the plateau, once you get like 7 or 8 hearts, you start to get good weapons, armor.
Starts to feel like a task that you can take on. Whereas at the beginning in Master Mode, like I said, I was deterred when I booted it up. I was like, I don't know if this is for me.
And feels a little bit more just like normal mode after you get past that first hump.
Yeah. But
so there's a lot of other information which we kind of wanted to touch on with the DLC. A lot of other functionality included
Master Mode. Hero's Path.
Yeah, exactly. A Trial of the Sword, Hero's Path, the Travel Medallion, which you got, Master Mode, Majora's Mask, the Korok Mask. There's a lot of content in the DLC.
You got quite a few of the DLC items. I was only able to get, I got the Switch t-shirt, which is kind of cool, but not like game changing or anything. Can't even upgrade it. It's just an aesthetic thing. It's fun, but
it's good for like a screenshot.
Yeah, the travel medallion is pretty dope and also is exciting to get to. It's pretty cool.
It's in one of the EX treasure chests, which is included with the DLC. So basically, when you purchase the DLC, then these items are just become in the overworld and you have to find them in their side quests. So I didn't even know what the travel medallion actually did until today. Can you describe what that is?
So what you can do is set a fast travel marker wherever you're at, and then you can just fast travel there whenever you want, and you can set a new one wherever you want, but you can only have one at a time. But it's like I was exploring Hyrule Castle, making my way to Ganon, and getting to Hyrule Castle is pretty difficult, especially in Master Mode. Getting your past the guardians and then making your way up the castle, especially when it starts raining and you can't climb necessarily. And so I needed to go get some more supplies and stuff, and I didn't really want to
right, it allows you to, so it allows you to like warp over to Kakariko Village or something, buy whatever you need, and then just go back to where you were.
Right. So pretty cool. Pretty cool.
One of the things which I thought was really cool was Hero's Path mode, which just allows you to see on the overview map where you've traveled.
Super
like
cool.
Like by a little line, you know?
Yeah, and you can also rewind and like see when you've died and stuff. And
yeah, so it records up to 200 hours, I think, of activity on the map, which is pretty cool. I found it really useful in particular for
seeing where you haven't been.
Yeah, for locating shrines that you haven't found yet. Because once you activate the Hero's Path mode, you can see the map and you can see where you've been. And it's real easy to see where you haven't been. And so it's pretty easy to surmise where the shrines that you're missing might be. So that's kind of a small thing. A lot of the stuff that is in the DLC, I think it's a large quantity of small things and then a couple really big things. One of the biggest things is Master Mode, of course. I think the other biggest thing is probably Trial of the Sword.
Yeah, which I haven't done. I think I'd like to go back and visit it. Oh, one thing to note really quickly while we're talking about the map and everything and me just beating the game, we noticed after I beat the game, you get a little star next to your save file. And
yeah, so Master Mode uses a discrete save file. So right, you can have separate save files, go back and forth between them.
But what you do is if you load the game, it's before your final fight with Ganon, but you do have some changes to the map. It starts to give you some different icons and stuff to see things and gives you a percentage of completion done. Also a checklist of all of the quests in the game.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I had been wanting to go back and do things like the Trial of the Sword and all of that. And I think it'll be kind of nice seeing like how much progress I've done towards completing the whole game and going back and just exploring the world a little bit more. There's definitely, in just looking at Hero's Path mode and seeing the DLC I haven't completed yet, very clear to me there's still like a ton of stuff that I haven't done or seen huge portions of the map that I haven't been to, like Eventide Island or like some of the labyrinths that I haven't been to, things like that.
So the percentage of completion shows what, like all the side quests? Like
all the side quests, how many you completed out of the total, like percentage of completion of like just everything in the game, shrines, all that. So gives you like a checklist and things like that if you want to go through and finish everything.
Did you ever check out Trial of the Sword?
No.
Do you know what it is?
That's the one at the Great Deku Tree, right? Where you, or is that the one back at the Shrine of Resurrection?
That's no, it's
the
in Champion Lost Forest.
Ballad. The Lost yeah. Forest.
That's right. Champion's Ballad is the motorcycle one. That starts at the Shrine of Resurrection.
So I went back to just finish up a couple of the quests that I realized I had completed but hadn't like got the rewards and checked them off. So went back to do that. And then when I teleported there, the Great Deku Tree gave me the whole intro to the was it Trial of the Sword or whatever, and was like, I think you're ready now. And then yeah, I was just like, nope, not ready, not gonna do that right now.
Well, what it does is it powers up the Master Sword,
but you also lose all your items, right?
It's a wave based gauntlet. So basically Trial of the Sword pits Link against wave after wave of enemies, which takes place in a series of rooms, almost like a dungeon in the old school Zelda games. And Link starts the challenge out with no weapons or armor, and you have to defeat every enemy in the room to advance over to the next one. And there's about 45 rooms.
45 rooms? Can you like save and leave and come back? Or
that's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't think you can.
Damn.
As far as I know. And so aside from this, the Master Sword is always in its glowing, powered-up state when you complete the trial.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
That's right. So it makes the Master Sword much more powerful. And that's why, actually, this is alluded to a lot with the Master Sword. You know, there's a couple points in the game where people say to you, oh, like it hasn't reached its potential or it could be more powerful. Right. Or so that is referencing the Trial of the Sword DLC mode, which is pretty cool, but is very difficult in master mode. So that's going to be a good challenge for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That'll be fun. Oh, and I showed you something pretty cool. The Master Sword, you didn't realize how if you're at full health, like in the old Zelda games, when you try to throw the sword, you cast out a beam from it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. That was in a lot of previous Zelda games, including Link to the Past, which and I
the
played
original and Zelda.
Not long ago.
Yeah, you played through it on the GBT win.
GPD. Yeah, I played Link to the Past about less than a year ago. Really enjoyed it. And that's having full hearts and using the Master Sword and having that projectile attack has been a long-standing sort of quirk of Zelda. And it was cool to see it in Breath of the Wild. I played the game for so many hours and had never even noticed that. So it's kind of funny. That's just a good example of how much detail and depth is in Breath of the Wild. I mean, it's so much that there are literally articles online where it's like 150 details you missed in Breath of the Wild. And there's so much care and attention put into every small detail in this game. It's truly incredible.
We were talking in the Switch group recently and somebody asked if it was a game design flaw or something. And we got into how I think it's really amazing how they just thought of all these things and put these subtleties in that reward you for experimenting with the game.
That's right.
They're not necessary things you need that they don't tell you. It just rewards you for, you know, exploring the depth that the game has.
Yeah, I think his argument was if the designers of Breath of the Wild added so much subtlety and nuance into the game, which people don't notice, is that wasted or is that somehow to the detriment of the game? And I would say no, because it's all extra bonus stuff that you don't need to enjoy the game.
Right.
If you do spend the time to explore the world and experiment, then you'll find a lot of interesting things. And I think this has been the general impression of Breath of the Wild. And one of the reasons why it's so highly regarded is because it's so filled with pleasant surprises.
I think that's part of why we both put so much time into it already. And I think why I still want to go back and do the things that I haven't done.
The first time I played the game last year, I was hoping to play through it on Master Mode, but I was also kind of thinking the game is so big and so long, maybe I'll finish it and just won't feel the need to go back and do that. And then my Switch got stolen, as you said, and I lost my save progress because Switch doesn't have cloud save.
Yeah.
And that was frustrating, but the silver lining around that was that now I definitely had to go back and do Master Mode. Yeah, which I kind of wanted to do, but wasn't sure if I would. And I really felt that although I lost dozens of hours of progress in Zelda, like you did also, it was doing a new challenge, which was fulfilling in its own way. So right. I didn't feel totally like I was just retreading all of my steps from my first save game. So I feel pretty happy about the way that worked out.
And it's still enjoyable. Like I said, there's so much depth and it's so open the way that you can take on things that like my second playthrough was totally different from my first one.
Yeah.
Like I was able to, the first Divine Beast I took on the first time I was playing had been the Zora one. And this time when I went back there, I had already completed the other three Divine Beasts and had done all the side quests in the Gerudo area and got the Thunder Helm. So it was really like I felt prepared and strong going into the Zora realm, going up in the rain with all the like shock arrows they're firing at you and stuff. I had complete immunity to lightning, and it would be like they would be hurting each other by shooting into like pools of water and getting the big shock aura or whatever,
yeah,
hurting each other, and I'm just walking up and like not being damaged by it. It was really empowering to be able to like do it, and it was fun and enjoyable for me to have a completely different experience taking on parts of the game that I had already done before.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the most appealing things about Breath of the Wild is how you can approach things in such different ways.
Yeah.
A lot of the discussion we've had about this game has been with people who've taken a totally different approach.
Yeah.
So like me and one other guy in our Switch group where we're discussing this basically never used horses And then some other people used them like all the time.
I'm using them quite a bit.
Yeah, you and I didn't get any stamina upgrades when we just completed the game in master mode. Yeah. And some other people prioritize stamina upgrades and don't want hearts because they mostly rely on dodging in combat and they climb a bunch of mountains. And that's just a totally way to do it. Just a different approach.
I mean, I really like that you can just craft potions and elixirs. And so it's like whenever I need to use a lot of stamina, I just have a bunch of stamina elixirs and can still get through those portions or like capture that horse or whatever. I just have to use a bunch of items to do it. So it's like you still have ways, even if you commit to one place, to work around that.
Another interesting thing which we should at least bring up is the amiibo cards, which we got.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there are a special set of amiibo for Breath of the Wild, as there are for, I think, every first-party Nintendo game. I think it's maybe like, what, 16 amiibo or 12, something like that?
I mean, there's a lot. Depends on like which set you're working with.
Zelda.
So Zelda, there's like maybe 20 or something.
Okay, so there's a
22,
set,
I think.
There's a set of Zelda amiibo. And what we did is we went on Taobao and you can buy the NFC cards, which include the amiibo NFC in it.
Yeah.
I think we paid like 60 RMB or something for the set.
It's like $10 or something, which is significantly cheaper than buying more than 20 amiibo figures.
Well, each amiibo is like $20.
$20, $30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these are like little figurines with an NFC code. So what you do is you take the figure and you just put it onto the right analog stick of the Switch. And it reads the amiibo, and then it gives you a special in-game item. And so each of the NFC cards, which we have, gives you something different. Some of them are really good. One gives you a wolf, which follows you around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another one gives you
Epona,
the horse. And there are a couple others, but basically
also special items you can only get from those cards, which is kind of cool. Different armor and stuff.
You know, I kind of felt like that was like using a cheat code. I kind of felt bad about using those, you know, because when you're in the middle of playing in master mode, I get these cards. I'm like, oh, cool. I start scanning them. Literally, it just starts raining like treasure chests like out of the sky. And it feels a lot like using a cheat code in Grand Theft Auto.
It's exactly what it feels like.
Where it's like a car just appears or like guns fall from the sky, that type of thing.
Now, so, I don't know about you. I didn't really rely on them. But now that I've like beaten the game and going about exploring it, when I go back to it, I'm going to take some time off and play some other things. But when I come back to spend some more time with it, I don't really feel bad now that I've beaten it about using them and want to get like the special items that they have and make just I don't mind making it a little bit of an easier experience finishing that last few percent of the game.
You know, the difficulty level of master mode is an interesting subject in and of itself. It's described online as making Breath of the Wild feel like Dark Souls during specific parts, such as bosses and group encounters. And I haven't really played a whole lot of Dark Souls, but at certain points, Master Mode is really difficult.
Yeah.
And then at other points, it doesn't seem like it's difficult enough. So it does feel like the difficulty is kind of all over the place. And what I mean is when you're at the beginning of the game, you're on the plateau.
Everything's difficult.
Every single encounter.
It makes the world feel dangerous.
Very dangerous. Terrifying.
Yeah.
But after you get 12 or 15 hearts, which I did by the time I was going after the divine beasts. I told you this, I defeated all four divine beasts in one evening.
Yeah.
And I didn't die on any of them, I don't think.
You had already uncovered the map, but thought you'd take on the divine beasts because they'd be hard for you, and they weren't hard for you.
Well, I thought they would be really difficult because the first time when I defeated the divine beasts in normal mode, I died on those for sure.
Yeah.
And that was hard. And I felt that in master mode, certainly it's going to be much more difficult than it was in normal mode. So
I think a lot of it's just knowing what tactics to use on them. And really, once you have that, they become relatively easy.
That's certainly a part of it. But I felt that the bosses would be a lot more difficult than they were. So if I could go back, I would have probably tried to defeat them earlier.
Yeah.
So I would have more of a challenge there. But I think that if some people are listening to this and you're interested in playing in master mode, maybe you start at the beginning of the game and you think it's so difficult that it's just going to be a frustrating experience through the game.
But it's not.
It's not. That's not really the case.
I also think part of the things that like you're kind of forced and to be introduced to all the mechanics at the beginning of the game and are around it. Later in the game, though, after you get off the Great Plateau, you have a choice about going around enemies or whatever. You don't have to, like, you can completely avoid all enemies and avoid any challenge, but there are definitely very challenging parts in the game. Certain shrine quests you have to do or things like that, that I think that a lot of the lack of challenge in the later portion of the game comes from you not necessarily seeking it out. Because there are places I went to, like the Colosseum, where it's got like a gold Lynel and all gold bokoblins, moblins, like a ton of enemies with crazy strong environmental weapons. Each level of it is like fire, ice, and then lightning or something, and it's a ton of enemies, so that you're just gonna be like totally swamped by enemies and destroyed there.
Yeah, some people are critical of Master Mode because they feel that a lot of the enemies are just like HP sponges.
Yeah,
you're just like constantly hitting them over and over. That is true in some cases, especially the white enemies.
Yeah,
I don't know if you encounter a lot of those. Yeah, but even if you have the Master Sword, one hit takes like 5%. Master Sword's
not that strong, though. Well, I mean, it's okay. Like it's even, a mid-level weapon.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that some of these enemies you have to hit like 30 times to kill, even with like some of the most powerful weapons you have in the game. And some people don't like that and feel that that kind of is a downer. I didn't feel that that was too much of an issue, but when I did encounter enemies like that, I pretty much just would like leave a marker and just leave.
Yeah, that's what I do too. But occasionally I want to get to like farm for items to like upgrade my armor or something, and we'll take on large groups. But it's like, I think a rewarding challenge, like something that if you can overcome, you get to upgrade your armor and maybe get some new weapons out of it and open a chest that you didn't get to before. And just the sense of accomplishment that you get out of it is pretty great.
So you've got over 80 hours in this playthrough on Master Mode, right?
Yeah.
How much more time do you think you'll play this game if you had to guess? How much of the content do you think you've gone through?
I've not really even touched upon like the DLC items and quests. So I'm probably going to play the game like another 60 hours or something. I'm guessing not over the next like month or so, you know, there's other things I want to do, but I think I'll keep coming back to it and maybe someday get to 100% completion or something, just because I want to see the other stuff in the game.
Yeah, so, you know, one of our friends, Devin, completed all the shrines. I'm not sure if he actually got 100% in the game, but every single shrine.
Pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah, that's a ton of shrines.
How many are there?
122 or something. Actually, wow. I think with the DLC, they add like another dozen, so it's probably like 130 in that neighborhood.
Wow.
And the like, Korok seeds, I don't think we know anyone who's done all those, but that's fairly ludicrous. 900 Korok seeds.
I think how many Korok seeds do you think you have?
I would say about 80.
I think I have like over 100.
I've used them all.
I have like 30 right now that I haven't used, just because I haven't. After a while, you get so many slots. I'll upgrade it again, but it's not that big of a deal after you have a bunch.
Right. So for anyone unfamiliar, Korok seeds are hidden items which are spread all over the world in Breath of the Wild. There are 900 of them, and there's a character which you can interact with who will accept your Korok seeds in exchange for maximizing your inventory space.
It's Hestu, right?
I think it's Hestu,
with his magic maracas.
That's right.
You have to bring him the Korok seeds because he can't shake them without them.
That's right. He does a dance with the maracas. But you can exchange the Korok seeds to maximize your inventory space for swords, for weapons, shields, or for anything else, or is it just those two?
Bows.
For bows, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I had a period of time where I would be like destroying all my bows and like just stuck without bows for like some time, which sucked.
Yeah.
You know, especially if I wanted to go hunting or something, or found myself in a dangerous encounter and not having a bow to help out with that battle.
Right. Do you think that anything else is coming with Breath of the Wild? Or do you think this is the end of the road for this game?
I think it's the end of the road for this game. I think that the next thing we're going to see is a new Zelda game, but not like, I mean, that was a long development cycle. That was what, more than 5 years, right?
Yeah, I think it is more than 5 years. I mean, just when you think about the amount of time required to 100% Breath of the Wild, it is such a long game. I mean, I'm really hard pressed to think of a game that's that large. I mean, if you were to 100% like Fallout 4 or something, I feel like that would be a lot quicker than Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, especially if you try to do so without using guides or anything, which I've not been looking anything up online. I've been trying to figure it out myself. And just as I said, coming back to things later if I can't do it right now, which is part of why I haven't got a lot of the DLC stuff. They're pretty cryptic riddles that you have to kind of figure out.
When I finished the game, I started looking up some things, especially I've been trying to get the motorcycle,
yeah,
which was included in the Champion's Ballad, the second DLC set, which came out in December of last year. When you begin that quest, it's a long one. There's a lot of shrines involved. There's a lot of stuff you have to do to get the motorcycle eventually. And I haven't completed it yet. But when I started it, I found I was just kind of overwhelmed with all these riddles.
Right.
And it's like riddles, like, you know, that are really cryptic and obscure.
I feel like that's part of the fun of the game, though, is like just trying to figure it out and getting lost in the wild.
Yeah, it's a little too much for me. You know, I feel like it's going to take more time than I would give it. And if I'm not going to take the time to do that myself, then I just want to look it up and get what I need since I've already finished the game. And so that's what I've been doing.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think a lot of people will need to do that, and maybe just to be able to see more of the game. I think it's totally reasonable just because of the amount of content. The scope of the game is, like, as you said, I think bigger than anything I've seen. So I can totally understand and appreciate and respect someone wanting to do that just to be able to see things they might not make time for otherwise. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think a large part of the game is just talking about things and finding out things through what other people have done in the game. Because I don't think there's any way for one person to see everything on their own.
You'd have, pretty
without,
tough.
Without putting in
hundreds of hours.
Yeah.
Anything else to add on Master Mode before we wrap this up?
Let's see. I think we pretty much talked about everything. There's like a few things that maybe just some cool experiences I've had with the game that maybe we can touch on, some of our favorite things that we've discovered in this playthrough. I found some cool areas that I had never been able to find before, like some shrines. This one shrine where you have complete darkness, you can't see without a torch or a fire source. And that was like a really, really exciting experience for me to go through. And you have to do a battle with a Hinox in the complete darkness. You can only see his eye. And that was pretty interesting on Master Mode, having to try to take that on. One thing that I found in Master Mode making the game significantly easier is once you upgrade the stasis ability and you can just freeze enemies like the Hinox. And that makes it like almost too easy.
I noticed, anyone who plays Master Mode will notice this, but there are a lot of floating balloons which are holding up treasure chests.
Yeah.
All over the map. Those are fun to shoot down and to fish those out of water.
Yeah.
Or to fight the guy. You can shoot the balloons, then they fall down, and it's kind of cool. I would guess that there's probably at least 50 of those, if not more, all around
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch.
You'll like see them around waterfalls and stuff. Maybe like two or three going up. If you have the Zora armor, you can swim up and then glide down from each one.
Yeah.
One time I went down and did a downward thrust attack and then accidentally knocked out one of the balloons and then knocked myself off of the thing and had to like glide down and then find the treasure chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think a lot of cool, small, subtle things like the treasure chests and the floating platforms are a cool addition.
Yeah, if you're interested in playing Zelda Breath of the Wild, which we highly recommend, Master Mode's a great way to play it. It might be a little bit difficult if you haven't played the normal mode of the game before, but if you have and you're familiar with the basic requirements of the game, how to cook, how to commit to basic combat, how to dodge, things like that, then Master Mode, in a lot of ways, is a more fulfilling experience than the normal mode is, I think.
Absolutely. I think it's the way to play it. After putting a few hours in the regular mode, if you're only going to play through once, I'd say put a couple hours in regular mode and then switch over to master.
There you go. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. You can find more episodes of the podcast on our website at chundugaming.com, or you can download them in whatever podcast app you use. We'll catch you next time.